LegalizeFreedom.com. Why are we here? Where do we come from? Where are we going? From the nature of reality to the future of humanity. Beyond politics, poverty, and war. LegalizeFreedom.com.
Greetings and welcome once again to LegalizeFreedom.com. I'm your host Greg Moffat, and my guest today is Ken Elliott, who joins us to discuss his book, Manifesting 1, 2, 3. For many years, the concept of manifesting has inspired countless individuals striving to improve their lives. Always one of the most popular areas in the mind, body, and spirit sections of bookshops, titles such as The Secret and literally thousands of similar publications offer tantalizing glimpses of how the law of attraction and other positive thinking practices can bring about profound changes in our being. For millions, sadly, the result has been little more than disappointment and frustration, as despite months or even years of wish lists, vision boards, and workshops, their hopes and dreams somehow fail to materialize. So is there, after all, real substance to any of this? Or is it merely New Age snake oil peddled to the lost and alone? As it emerges, what most manifesting manuals don't tell you is that thought is indeed a real force. Non-material and non-local, but a force nonetheless, with a solid grounding that cutting-edge science may one day reveal to us. Our thoughts do indeed affect our physical reality, and like gravity, whether we believe in it or not, it's happening anyway. Call it science, call it magic, call it anything you like. It's merely one of the basic operating principles of the universe that each of us experiences each and every day, even if we choose to deny it. Harnessing this power, however, through focused will, intention, and desire, and charged by emotion, has the potential to become extremely powerful. Hello and welcome, Ken, and thank you so much for joining us today on LegalizeFreedom.com.
I'm very happy to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
Ken, today we're going to be talking a little bit about manifesting, specifically in relation to your book, Manifesting 1, 2, 3, and you don't need number 3, which you added on there. We'll get to the reasons for that. Before we jump into all of this, just tell listeners a little bit about your background and your work in general.
Okay. Well, I'm born in Texas, spent some time, about 10 years in San Francisco, now I live a little south of Denver. I'm an artist, the real thing. I have a full career in that. And some years ago, I've been fortunate throughout my life to have really good mentors in art and business and in metaphysics. And Judy Goodman is someone who I'm very close to, and she's at the core of this book. She's very, very gifted, beyond comprehension with some of the things she can do. And I learned early on, because somebody told me about one of these gifts that Judy had, I wouldn't have discovered it otherwise, that if I sent her something in thought, she would get it. And for over 15 years, I was sending her objects by just thinking of them. And I would call her later in the day, and she would tell me about the thing that formed up or was beginning to take form in her home 2,100 miles away. That's quite a discovery. Now, I could send these to people other than Judy. I have a few extremely gifted friends, and also became very close to William Buhlman about the same time I met Judy, B-U-H-L-M-A-N, the foremost out-of-body author and teacher. And he goes the other side all the time, and he discussed with me that he could put something on a vision board, and on the other side,
he could watch it start to take form over there in the same way that it was taking form in Judy's home. So I could send things to Judy would happen, we would put things on his wish list, and they would happen on the other side, and he could see them as if they're lined up, not in a factory, but like they're lined up on a shelf. That's quite a discovery, and it is a true game changer. I can't underline this enough at how important this is. There's so many books on manifesting, and they're about techniques and how to do this, how to do that. Some things seem a little confusing, but I support them all. And in the end, we've been spending decades on bringing together stories and conversing about this and trying to figure out what it is about what we're doing that creates a better result. We're using these stories to get to best practices on how to make things happen. We're talking about thoughts make things. Thoughts create change. But no one has apparently not discovered that or had that experience, I should say, or at least written about it in real time or over a period of many, many years. So I'm here to talk about that. And please, please, please hang on to this program because you're going to hear something you haven't heard before. You know, it's the equivalent of why grass is green, why the sky is blue. It is a fundamental concept, and it will take all the mystery out of manifesting. You'll understand you've already been doing this, and now you're going to have the focus and the confidence to make things happen in your life.
Now, people will have already got the gist of what we mean when we're talking about manifesting. As you say, it's rather popular in the mind, body, spirit section of bookstores these days. And what we're really talking about here is thought as a force, that thoughts become things, that there is a mind-matter interaction that is not well understood, but is nonetheless real.
Yes, I like that mind-matter thing. That really brings it home. We're not going to speculate about this. We're not going to wish and hope. We're going to take you out of that game, and we're going to offer to you that when you go over there and lift the faucet to get water, water comes out every time. We don't want you wishing and hoping that you're going to get water. It's hooked up to the water plant, and we're going to give you manifesting in a way that is perfectly understandable, and we'll take the speculation out of this, shall we say, and you put it right to work. You've already been doing it, but you didn't have it explained to you how real it is. I like that mind to matter. That's what we're talking about.
You mentioned the book, The Secret, which a lot of people will have heard of, if not read, particularly if they are looking to make changes in their life, if they have found themselves looking within themselves to do inner work to improve their situation, whether it's work, relationships, just can be any of the important things in life. Health is another one.
Yes.
And as mentioned, there are so many books in this area now. There have been a profusion, some better than others, some very specific, some very vague. Actually, and I know, for example, I just want to sort of throw this one out to skeptics. I know that because I meet people like this all the time who think this is some kind of new age woo woo nonsense, and you know, therefore, you know, they'll maybe find an example of someone who's behaving perhaps a bit like a charlatan within this area, just trying to cash in. And no doubt there are people just trying to do that. You know, anything that's popular, people come in its wake and try and cash in on it.
Yes.
But for my part, now you've been practicing this, you've written your book, you've heard from so many people with so many different experiences. We may actually be coming at this from slightly different perspectives, but I just want to say to anyone listening that I don't own a copy of The Secret. I am not religious or evangelical about this, but I have found that thought is a tangible force and doesn't always behave in the same way. It's difficult to measure or to deal with scientifically, but there's something real here. And as we work through this and I share some of my experiences and yours, I hope to make it clear to people that whether they believe, quote unquote, any of this or not, this stuff is happening anyway.
Nicely said. I use the example of gravity. You hold something out at arm's length and let it go, it's going to crash to the ground. And your understanding or lack of understanding about gravity has no influence on gravity as a natural law. It's just going to keep doing it. And your thoughts will make things. They start to make them immediately. My friends can see them start to form as you think them. And it would be insane not to, at least certainly from my experience of my friends, and the people who see this in real time happening because of their giftedness, or they go the other side and see what's going on, we would be silly not to take advantage of this. Why would we stop breathing? Why would we disallow gravity, in a word? So this is something fundamental and very, very powerful. It's in your possession. It is your birthright. We're all equally gifted, if I would even use that word. We're all equally capable of doing this, and we already do. So let's figure out what it is and hit the switch.
I think the phrase positive thinking, which again you'll hear, it's been bandied around now probably for decades, really probably since the 60s, you know, with the arrival of, you know, Alan Watts and people like that on the scene, and how thought affects reality. It's got sort of a bad reputation, and some people have said, oh, well, you know, I've tried that, it doesn't work. Probably a lot of people who bought The Secret put the thing down after a while and just thought, oh, this is, you know, this is nothing, there's nothing to this. Now, I have talked to people, I remember once being involved with a company, and not working for them as such, but just came into contact with them, and a lot of the people involved there were being encouraged to engage in positive thinking, to have things like vision boards, which you can perhaps explain to folks as well. And there was a lot of people either not sticking at it or they were just not getting results at all. And the way I would sum up a lot of their thinking, their approach to it, was they had never had it explained to them in the way that your book does. What, without going into the physics of it, which you don't, how this might be working, therefore they did not believe that it could work. They were having their vision board with their Mercedes or their, you know, condo or whatever it was on there, and they were going through the motions without the emotion, if you see what I mean, because they fundamentally didn't think there was anything to this subconsciously, and therefore, of course, nothing changed.
Yes, yes. Well, sometimes just, you know, thought is the weak force in this thing. If you're going to begin to point yourself to an outcome, then the thought itself begins to take form. Now, The Secret was a tremendous worldwide success, or at least a lot of people, well, it's a success by almost any measure. And people will get any sort of thing and they'll stay with it or they'll drop out of it. So I have no criticism about that. And they did get results, many, and many say they did not. Whatever. But gravity keeps on working. We are still breathing air. We don't know the gaseous component of it or how it works, and life goes on. And your thoughts continue to make things if you're aware of it or not. The thing about The Secret, it was the law of attraction. And what I've learned is that the thought is primary. That is the alpha thing. The law of attraction is a side effect of the first thought. If you don't have a target, there's nothing for something to be attracted to. So it's all about the thought. And thought can make things, and it can create concepts like happiness or health or a lack of stress or well-being or, you know, or wisdom, all sorts of things can be made with thought. You know, coming back around as if we're starting the program again, what I'm offering is, if you clearly understood or had a pretty good idea that you could create anything you wished for, and you had a good roadmap on that, and you have a lot of people who have had results on this, and it's pretty simple. It's a singular, pretty much a singular thing, not hard to do. If you could make anything you wish for, then what would you do with it? What would you do with it? I like to think of an app on a phone. I have a lot of phone apps. I'm just sort of a little tech head about that. And I can almost do anything with an app, I like to think. But when I'm using manifesting, as we have it in Manifesting 1-2-3, by the way, that's the website, www.manifesting123.com. The proof out is that you can make anything. Anything. So I have to tell you this. I don't have the Pope's hat on. I'm not an authority. But as one fella to the next, you're worthy. We're all worthy. We're all worthy. And this is your birthright. So if you hear this, it rings a bell with you, give it a try. If you're curious about it, give it a try. You're going to get a result because your thoughts will start forming this thing. And it's a matter of repetition. it's layers and layers of intention. So going back to William Buhlmann, the out-of-body author, I've known him for 20 years, we're very close friends, he had an aside comment one day, and I said, what did you say? I mean, it really hit me. He said, well, sometimes when I'm out-of-body, and he goes out-of-body multiple times a week, very adept at that, he doesn't have to get in a car crash to do it, it's a simple procedure for him, and he's on the other side, the spirit side, where your deceased grandma and grandpa are, the angelic realms, and on and on and on. And he said, on occasion when he's over there, he would see the things on his wish list arrayed in various stages of formation. I said, what do you mean? Because I knew he was a list maker. He would read his list to me, and the things on his list would come to pass. And so he was profoundly keen on this, you know, and he's a guy's guy. Guys don't make lists, but William makes lists. And he would share those with me. And I said, so what do you mean they're arrayed over there? He said, well, if I've been working on something for a very short period of time, a few days, week, something, he can see that item or that concept, that thing. It would appear as a puff of smoke over there, like a vapor. Now, when you're on the side, sometimes you have a great knowing about the things that you see or come in contact with. So he could look at that wisp of smoke, and he would know that it represents something on his wish list. Now, something he'd been working on for a month or so, and by working on, he would simply look at that list. He might make an affirmation. He might say it out loud. Whatever it is, he would give it some intention. He would touch it. It's everything you do with that list is an intention. It's another layer of intention. So after, say, a month of touching this list, here's this other item, and it has a lot more form. It's kind of 3D. It might have a blush of color on it, and you can clearly see what that thing is. And then if he's been working on something for a longer length of time, it would be fully formed, fully 3D, fully color, and it's about to come over into the physical world. And he'd be very excited about that. And it's purely a result of his having it on nothing is complicated, nothing more complicated than a wish list. And he would simply look at that list every day. Maybe put a candle on it. Maybe he'd talk it out loud. Maybe he would just stick it up on the mirror, you know, when he's brushing his teeth. Whatever you do with it is another layer of intention. And your thoughts, when they are repeated and layered and layered and layered, they will take more and more form. It's as simple as that. And I haven't seen this in the literature. I don't know of anyone else. I don't care that it's about me. I'm just saying this is new. I don't know of anyone else who has had the experience of sending things in thought to someone else over 15 years or more and having a 100% result. Thoughts make things, and that's how it works. And it's simply a matter of you're repeating that thought. Now, on that note, thoughts are a weak force, so you're layering that thought. Sometimes things happen pretty fast. It looks miraculous. There is prayer. That's another game altogether. I can't speak to that, but I know that they hear you the first time. I believe in that. They're pretty smart, but I'm a belt and suspenders guy. I have a prayer life, and I manifest. And I'm always on them about prayers, and I think they're tired of hearing me, but I get to manifest things of my own as well. So I take full advantage of this gift that we have of creation. So I'm constantly reinforcing that every day, just once a day, just once a day. And that's all that's required. If you want to do it 6 or 7 times a day, if you think that makes you more successful, not necessarily, you're using a weak force, but go for it. But, you know, if you tell people if they do it 3 times a day and that's better than once, they'll do it 30 times a day and they'll never come out of the house anymore. The idea here is you are making something. You're creating a target. There's that law of attraction for people that like that terminology. So if you're manifesting a number of things, then you need to get out of the house more. You need to say yes more because you become a target for the things you're making.
Now, you mentioned there a couple of times repetition, and there's something important here, and it reminds me of an interesting personal episode, shall I put it, in my life going back to the late 80s. And in sharing this, I'm going to come across probably as quite crazy to some people. But for me, this is something very important that I've come to see differently as the years have passed, as my understanding has grown. And there was something I wanted in my life back then, very much more than anything I'd ever wanted up to that point by an order of magnitude. I had been reading at the time, throughout the 1980s, I'd been reading a lot about the occult and the supernatural and magic. And I was so, I don't want to use the word desperate, that's the wrong word, but I was so keen to make something happen in my life that I resorted to, after having read some books, I resorted to writing what can only be described in this context as a magic spell. Mm-hmm. And now the key here was that I wanted this thing so badly. Now that charged any of my thoughts about it. And I set up a little ritual, which involved lighting a fire, small fire outside, reading what I had written about what I wanted. And with each time repetition of it, I would throw some salt in the fire. Because that's mm-hmm. what this book suggested. Mm-hmm. Now, people are just thinking, oh, this guy's out of his mind. The result that came back was just mind-blowing. And it was the first time I thought to myself, this works. Now, people will say, oh, well, it was only a one-off. It was a one-off at the time. It hasn't been since. And where I'm going with all this is if that was magic, I realized that all it really was, call it what you like, it was focused will, it was focused intention, it was focused desire, and it was charged by emotions, powerful emotions that I felt, you know, overwhelming desire. That's mm-hmm. what made it happen. And you talking about repetition and about, you know, lighting a candle, for example, a little bit of ritual, a little bit of ceremony. So mm-hmm. I don't know what your take on this is, but for me, what people would call magic is simply what we're describing anyway. It's the focused will. It's the power of thought, intention, desire.
Yeah, it's a singular thought with repetition. And when I first did wish lists, and I recommend this to other people, I realized that it's the power of repeated intention. I didn't know about the emotional concept at that point, but I knew that I could, if I could repeat this and put a little juice in it somehow, and I would just call it juice. I didn't think of it in any other way. Then I could improve my chances. I'm still speculating about how thought works. I didn't know about the puff of smoke sort of thing. So I would say, yes, I would go to the store to buy special stationery and make a trip just for that. And then I go to another part of the house to get a pencil. And then I go to another part of the house to get an envelope. I go to another part of the house to get a stamp. I was going out of my way in these intentions. And then I would write this thing out, and then I would mail it to myself. And I would drive 5 or 10 miles away from the house and put it in the mailbox. So I was going out of my way to make these intentions stronger. What I didn't know at the time was about the emotional part of that. And it's really not emotional. Let me just be clear. It's love or fear. Those are the two great powers. So you can charge it with in a positive way or in a negative way. Your thoughts are the weak force. That's the target. And if you put the emotion of love or fear behind it, that will amplify that. It's far stronger than the weak force thought. But the thought is the target. So you were doing that. You had that emotional component, and you got a result. Now, some people will say, oh, well, I can use this. This is an evil thing that I'm doing, or this is a holy thing that I'm doing. It's all levels of intention. And I don't want to get into religious connotations here, but where did this come from? I've clearly observed where I was in a void, and if I think of anything, it will happen. And I've seen this a couple of times, and I'm not the only one who's seen this. I'm there, and there's nothing there, and I know that if I think of a galaxy or a bag of popcorn, it'll happen. I can invent a new biology, a new up and down. It's amazing. And I also observe that surrounding me, unseen in this blank void, is something that will react to my thoughts. It's not my chemistry set. If I walked up on you in that void, I would think you were God, because you're sitting there about to make a new creation, a new universe or something. But it's not your chemistry set you're working with. So where did that come from? Is there an architect? Did it just happen by accident? You know, it gets down to that basic thing again. But coming back to our conversation now, your thoughts are making something. It's like you're putting a quarter into a machine and you're getting a result. Now, you may not see it right away. Sometimes you see it lightning fast. But just know that it is creating, and my friends can watch it happen in real time. And in the book, there's one of those stories where I sent something in real time. And it was observed forming in real time.
Central plank of what you're talking about in the book is, obviously, people by now have gathered, we're talking about thinking about what you want. And actually, I think that's very important. I probably should get you to address that, because a lot of people don't know what they want. They sort of maybe think they do. Oh, yeah, I'd like to have lots of money and a fast car and a big house. But how much they really want that stuff is another matter. And whether it's because they've not really thought about it, or whether perhaps they think it's selfish. You know, I often, when I was reading your book, I was thinking about my grandmother, who never wanted anything for herself. She wouldn't hear of it. It was always other people first. But yeah, actually knowing your own mind, knowing what it is that you want. And I think some people are so too busy living to actually get a life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you said two words, want and selfish. So let me run off on that. I've been to the other side a number of times. Some of my closest friends on the other side a lot, every night, many times a week. And they are adamant on this, and I've observed this myself. On the other side, in the spirit world, things happen in a very, very literal way. As it is here, it is there, and thoughts make things. But they make things instantly. So if there is something that you require, you simply state it and you have it. If you want to be at the North Pole, you say North Pole and you're on the North Pole. Dark side of the moon, fine. You want to be in Siam, fine. There's an old word.
Yes.
Going back to those genie books. So things happen very, very quick and in a extremely literal way. And there's no way around it. It is literal. If you touch the T on your computer, it will only make T, 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 T. And if you're over there and you state something, or even if you look at something, you're going to move towards that item you're looking at. The thing that you state will happen instantly. Now, here it's a little slower. So because things are literal there, they're also literal here. So when you're making a command to want something, then you have made the command, and it is a command. This isn't wishful thinking. You've made the command to be wanting. So if you are wanting for a car, there's nothing to do. The machine does nothing. You're wanting for a car? Okay. Next, do you have something, sir? What would you require? If you say you require, if you wish, if you pray, then you're putting something to effect. If you need something, you have stated you are needy for the thing. So I don't want to put in a lot of rules on this because this is very simple stuff, but it is literal. So watch what you say and don't beat yourself up about it. You know, it's common speech to say, well, I want that. Well, I have to catch myself and I have a little chuckle and I'll pull back and say, I wish for that. I require that. I'm working on obtaining that. In other words, I'm in a place where I'm making a literal command, but it's not one for me to be in need or in want. And then to the selfish aspect, so many times I'm getting some food through the drive-thru window. That's the kind of guy I am. I'll meet people, listen to that, perfect strangers, and I get a little hit. I get a little buzz. Maybe it's a little psychic thing. Maybe it's just a hunch. And I'll ask people, And I'll say, this is a little strange, but I'm going to do this anyway, if that's okay. And they look at me, it's already a little strange. And I'll say, do you ask for things? And I'll look up heavenly, you know, heavenward. I'll say, ask for things, hope for things. You know, do you ask, wish? And they'll go, well, you know, no. And they're nice people. And I said, well, do you wish for other people? So, oh, yeah, I do that. But not for me. That was your grandmother. Or they'll say, well, you know, I did a couple of times and it happened and it scared me. Or sometimes they just don't. You know, they just don't. And so I'll encourage them to make wishes, and that's how I put it. I don't have the time to get into the whole book or this and that. And I'll say something like, well, and I get that. That's what urges me. That there are people, or there's something that is compelling me to tell you to start making wishes. Maybe it's time to give it a try. Something like that. And we have a little laugh, and off we go. Some of those people have ended up being in the book because their stories were so profound. There was a woman who just made the end of the book for me. I went to a steakhouse with a friend of mine. He said, wow, do you remember the waitress here? And I said, what are you talking about? I said, you don't remember that story? And he told me the story and went, oh, my God, that's the closure of the book. Waitress came up. I went through that thing. Do you ask for things? She said, well, yes, I do. And it kind of surprised me. I was thinking it'd be the other way around. And I said, what did you ask for? She said, I asked to be in a car wreck. I said, what? She said, yeah, I want to be in a car wreck. I said, well, what happened? She said, well, I got in a car wreck. Oh, she said, hit by a car. I said, are you kidding me? Why did you do that? She said, there's another waitress here who was hit by a car. And she got a settlement, quite a big settlement. So I was asking for that. I said, well, are you okay? She said, yeah, I was just across the street and I got grazed by a car. It didn't hurt me at all, but it scared the hell out of me. I could have been killed. I could have been horribly injured. I said, well, would you do that again? She said, no, tell people not to, ask to be hit by a car. So we talked about it some more. She's the last story in the book, right at the end of the book. And I went back after the book was published. It was just a couple of months later, and she wasn't there anymore. So I hope she found herself a much better career.
Just to, once again, I'm wanting to keep people with us here who might be skeptical. I'm going to continue to talk along these lines that there are mechanisms at work here. As I said, we don't talk about the physics. You don't deal with that in the book. But with all the talk of spirit sides and astral planes and puffs of smoke and the rest of it, people who are thinking that that's nonsense, you do not have to buy into that way of seeing it. There's a mechanism that may be revealed to us in the future. Science may reveal how the mind-matter a barrier is breached, how the two interact. Don't hold your breath. We've been dealing with it for thousands of years and no one's managed to explain it yet. But there are mechanisms at work here, whether you like it or not, just to go back to what you were saying about gravity. So I just want to throw that out there in the hope that anybody who is skeptical but is still with us at this stage, that they will stay, because you don't have to. This is not a religion that you sign up for. You don't have to pay an annual fee. You don't have to wear funny clothes. You see what I mean? This is just something that is occurring that, because we haven't explained it yet, and we can't explain it scientifically, for some people, well, that's not good enough. We just need to know. That being said, you have pointed out that not only do thoughts become things, and whether you think negatively or positively or, somewhere in the spectrum there, that is going to be reflected because, how shall I put it, the universe, let's just use that expression, the universe doesn't care as such. And another key thing here, in thinking about what you might want to change in your life, is that big, small, medium-sized, they're all actually the same. The universe can't tell the difference between a dollar bill and a $100 bill. You see what I mean? Zeros, it doesn't matter. So I notice people sometimes even if they're not engaging in their own form of manifesting, they're thinking about what they want in their life, and they're thinking small because they think there's more chance. Mm-hmm. There's more chance of it happening if I don't ask for too much, and it doesn't work like that.
It's literal. Think small, get small. Think big, get big. And I want to underscore, it's not always things, it's concepts. We can call happiness a thing or health a thing, but I just want to underscore, it's not always objects. It's not always about, making money or being successful. And what do we want? See, I did it right there. What do we require? I have to give myself a little pinch. When you talk with people or you just sit quietly with yourself, what is it? What does that list look like? Perfect health. Good health. Perfect. But I'll use the word perfect. Perfect health. Security. You want to be well thought of. Loved. Financially secure. And financially secure means somehow you don't have to worry about shelter. And that's another one, shelter. part of the safety thing. So not everything is about money, although the system is certainly skewed that way. But there is the equivalent of money. You can get a reduction in your rent. You may find a place that's rent-free. There is the equivalent of health. There have been some people who have had some amazing things have happened with their health. They were going to doctors. Things were not good. They started manifesting, and then they got their miracle. Their health was failing, and it stopped at that point. Now, it wasn't recoverable. This is eyesight in a couple of cases with glaucoma. It wasn't recoverable, but it's very rare that glaucoma stops because it's an incurable disease. And both of these people said, you know, it's as perfect as it can be for me. What little sight I lost, I'm fine with it. And they have the equivalent of, to them, perfect health, perfect sight. Because it's not going to get worse. The glaucoma went away. So that's a rather remarkable outcome. And the doctors themselves, they didn't call it miraculous, but they said this is very, very rare. And when I went to the National Glaucoma Society site, that was underscored. It's not curable. It says right there on the front page.
Have you read Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill?
No, I'm aware of it, but I have not read it.
Well, that's one of the kind of, in some people's eyes, the granddaddy of the self-help book. And I have read it, and it was most interesting. I read a fairly recent edition. I then realized that this is really what he's talking about. And editions that were published after the original ones, but before the current one that you would find in the bookstore today, they had material redacted, taken out. And I looked into this, and I found out that, because when Think and Grow Rich, for me, that's, I can see why people would buy that book. It's very attractive, but it does put the focus very firmly on objects and not on concepts like health. It makes people think about money and about material objects. And when I investigated what had been taken out of the book, I realized that they'd taken out the important stuff, the stuff that in your own way that you touch upon. So what you had then was a really dry expose that had been robbed of its true power. Basically, what you would say the metaphysical content had been taken out of it. And it was only later put back in because people realized the book had no power without it. It was really without that stuff, all the book really said was, you know, think positive. For a lot of people, that's like, oh, okay, you know.
Right.
But they're not putting anything behind it. You know, there was no emotion. The other things that we discussed earlier.
Well, it is, again, your thoughts of the week for us. And when you put love or fear behind it, that's what charges it. That's what makes it more powerful. You know, I used to, for all those 15 years or so, I would think of something really, really hard, and I'd send it to Judy and concentrate and concentrate and concentrate on it. It was later that I learned that all I had to do was to think of the thing, and that's the number one of the 1, 2, 3, think of the thing, and then after that thought, I would say, I'm so grateful, you know, because I'm projecting this outcome. You want me to tell you about the number one?
Yeah, whatever you'd like to share. I mean, this is important, touching upon gratitude, actually, because gratitude is part of this, putting yourself in the situation that you want to manifest. You're kind of already there in your mind.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll quickly run through the 1, 2, 3, and you don't need number 3. And again, manifesting123.com is the website. And on that website, you can sign up for the newsletter. And every Friday, there's a story that comes out from readers. There's always a newsletter, and almost every Friday is that, with few exceptions. There's well over 100 stories in there. And, you know, if you're interested, curious, skeptical, just go up there and just start searching through those stories. You can keyword search those things, and they're on many, many topics. So the number one of Manifesting 1, 2, 3 is this. Your thoughts can make anything. And there is a big snake oil statement, isn't it?
Yes.
But remember, it's an equivalent thing too. So if you're trying to manifest a certain thing, you may get the equivalent. The idea is, since your thoughts can make anything, don't tell your thoughts how to make it. Don't specify that if you want that perfect career, and I didn't say job, did I? Perfect career, that you simply do this. Here's a fabulous concept, and it's a true concept. Your thoughts can create the future. There's no reason to lay out an outline on how to make the future happen. So in the number one of 1, 2, 3, imagine, just sit on the couch, imagine with your eyes closed that you're in your future and you observe that you have perfect health. Perfect health. Now, at this point in time, maybe you don't. Maybe you do. But in your future, you do have perfect health. And you are so very grateful. Now, what can happen? There are many instances where someone has a big ache and pain, has something shooting down their leg all the time, sciatica, that sort of thing. It moves back and forth. It's a target that they can't fix. And in their future, they have perfect health. They don't observe, and they say from their future perch on their couch, they haven't had any problems with sciatica. It doesn't bother them. Now, if you have sciatica, I want you to go to the doctor and keep going to the doctor and keep going to the doctor. But on top of that, use this, go to your future, and if there's some sort of ailment, it doesn't exist. If there's some sort of issue, if it's smoking, if it's you're always cynical and you lose friends, whatever that thing is that you don't like, that you don't want in your present, in your future, it doesn't exist. It's not an issue. And people will come back and they'll say, you know, I've still got that sciatica, but it doesn't bother me the way it used to. What's up with that? It didn't go away. It's still there, but it's not debilitating anymore. And that's remarkable. Maybe it's just one of those things, but there's too many reports of those sort of things. Now, I don't want to get on the soapbox and start getting on this medical thing because I'm always skeptical of any of that. These stories come in from time to time, and, you know, I have to take a seat when I get one of those and go, oh, my gosh, that's really amazing. But I'm not going to, you know, sit here and tell you it's a cure-all for everything. But it does make a difference. And sometimes that difference is an equivalent. It will diminish the problem. Or maybe it doesn't even come up in your head anymore. I don't know. But I know that your thoughts will start to create that result. So in the number one, I call it the movie. Everybody's good at watching a movie. Nobody flunks watching a movie. But we may not be good at meditation. We may not be good at concentration, this thing or that thing. So I call it a movie. And in your future, you have these different scenes in your movie. And I like to recommend to people, for nothing else but a matter of ranking importance and just having some organization, that the number one thing for me, I'm in my future and I have perfect health. And I'm so very grateful. Now, just the act of my saying that, improve that. I'm manifesting right now in the air. The number two thing would be, I'm in my future and finances are no longer a concern for me. They're a tool. And that implies a lot. I'm not concerned about finances. Well, how could that be? Well, in my future, I'm just not concerned about them. It could happen 100 different ways. So I didn't specify or limit how that could happen. Here's another one that people use a lot. In my future, I'm with my perfect partner. And I observe from my couch, my perfect partner comes and sits beside me, and the couch sinks over a little bit, and I pat my perfect partner on the knee. I don't look at my perfect partner. I'm not going to specify that my perfect partner has to have a certain look. There are millions of potential perfect female partners on the planet, and I'm not going to specify that they have to have red hair. And I say that jokingly because I have a friend who's very keen on women with red hair. He'll hear this program. Always gets a laugh. It's this. We want to get on the bus and go from here to Washington, D.C. Oh, my God, it's going to take 2 days. It's going to make 79 stops. But you can go into your future, and in your future, you are in Washington, D.C., and you're looking at the Washington Monument. And this thing and that thing, and you're walking around in Washington, you can touch things, you can hear things, you can feel things, and you are in Washington all the way. But you don't specify how you got there, or your thoughts will have to make that too. If it's that perfect career, you're simply, you're at home at the end of the day, and you're in your future. You're on the couch again. You don't have to be in an office. That's too limiting. And you observe at the end of the day that you just love, 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 love your perfect career. and you're well respected and well thought of, and you're important to this, and it's important to you, and it fills your cup. Maybe this career is what you're really here to do. You know, people say, I love getting paid for what I love to do. It's one of those things. And you're just crazy about it, and you are so grateful. And your thoughts will begin to make that future. But don't specify that you have to lose 5 pounds and get a new wardrobe and do this, 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 and this, because all those things will have to happen first. Now, here's another thing that happens when you start projecting and creating these thoughts into the future. If you don't like your present job, your present career, you may get fired. You may get put off to the side. You may get laid off. It looks like a tragedy, but you have bills to pay. You would never quit that job without lining up the next one. But you're on your way to that perfect career, and anything that's in the way of that is going to hopefully be gently put to the side. And so you're on your way, since you got laid off that job. Now you're going to go out there and find, or it will find you, the next job, and it'll be the better job. That happens in relationships as well. Sometimes relationships get a lot better magically. Sometimes they end, and hopefully they end in a very good way. So it's progress. It looks like bad news sometimes. Sometimes it's not. But be prepared that when something like that happens and you think it's bad news, that you are affecting change and you are on your way in the most efficient way possible to get to what it is that you're creating in your future.
Well, this that you mentioned on your bus trip analogy about not getting bogged down with how things can happen is very important, because we have a natural tendency to think, say, for example, oh, I need to be financially solvent. So therefore, how is that going to happen? And it gets particularly problematic if you start to put obstacles in the way and say, oh, well, that won't work. It's just trying to forget about that stuff. And the other thing that's very important in what you said was about specific details. For example, let's say you take a shine to the brunette who works in the coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
By all means, if you want to draw someone or a thing, whatever it happens to be, object, concept, into your experience, focus on that, charged with the emotion that you feel. But there's this concept of precursors. Use specific people, specific objects in order to generate the emotion around the thing, but then don't be blind to what else is happening around you. Because maybe it won't be the brunette in the coffee shop. Maybe it's the brunette that walked past you in the street and you were too busy thinking about something else and you didn't notice, or whatever it happens to be. So it's a fine balance between focusing on, yes, on what you want, but being prepared for this idea of a precursor, which can mean that these similar things are starting to come into your experience.
Yeah, I'll call it a bleed over. You know, when you're making these things, they start to get very physical over there, and sometimes you'll see evidence of this thing happening. You'll start to hear the thing, or people come up to you and they'll say the thing. You know, it hadn't quite happened yet, but you start to get this sort of, is that a coincidence? I keep hearing about that more than usual. The brunette in the coffee shop, if you're going for your perfect partner, you're very compelled about this brunette in the coffee shop. She may not be the perfect partner. It may be her roommate. It may be that you go out and have that coffee, and she leads you to her circle of friends, and it's one of those people in that circle of friends. The brunette was the person on the way that could get you there more efficiently. You couldn't get there any other way to that other person. So you just watch what you're compelled for. You try to be aware. You don't have to be metaphysically aware. You know, you just sort of pay attention and go down the road. But do this every day. Every day. I have businessmen that do this. They were doing this in a closet for a while. You know, they're not going to tell anybody they're doing this metaphysical stuff, but their 13-year-old daughter is sure having some remarkable results off of this, and the mom. And he called me one day, and he brought over a very nice bottle of wine and sat down, and he was in tears 2 times. He said, I haven't cried maybe more than 10 times in my entire adult life, and I've been in tears here twice because I've been manifesting an increase in business, a perpetual success. Let me be clear. You can have an increase in business. It might last for a week, but he's trying to do something permanently. If you can make permanence, make permanence. So he's trying to manifest permanent success to where he could hit something and retire from it. He said he has 5 business deals coming to him that are as good or better than anything he's ever seen in his whole career. He's standing under a waterfall of amazing possibilities. Now, they may all come up short, but he's never seen anything like this come in, and he said, it has to be a result of my manifesting because it looks like magic.
Exactly. Exactly what I was saying earlier. You can call, people can think about ideas very differently just depending on what you call it, if you see what I mean. So that's why I used the word magic before, because there was a time when I was thinking this is magic, and it's like, well, call it whatever you like. It's a thing. It doesn't change the basic concept behind it. And one thing to throw out, actually, yet again, addressing perhaps people who are skeptical, and that's the idea. We all can think of someone, we probably can think of someone who worries a lot. And I've always said that worrying is a way of praying for what you don't want. And
thank you.
People who expect bad things to happen to them, and bad things tend to, you know, you might feel sorry for this person, oh dear, they've had a run of bad luck, and people who expect bad things to happen to them, that, and quite often these are people who will not acknowledge the role of their thinking in it. And we can also think of people who are generally expect good things to happen to them, and either of these types of person doesn't necessarily have exclusively 100% the same type of experiences all the time, but it's the balance of probability of possibility. And I think that even the most hardened skeptic can say, oh yeah, I know someone like that, you know, someone who's all Mr. Doom and Gloom, and lo and behold, that's what his life is like.
Yes. It's just thought. Let's get this really, really clear. If you think it, it starts to make it. And throughout the entire history of the world, if God or nature or the architect or the, you know, the fairies in the garden didn't make it, you know, whatever your belief system is, if it didn't occur naturally or by divine wish, then we thought of it. And everything that has ever, 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 ever been invented, if it didn't occur by accident, was a thought first. And if you look at the skyline of a major city, you're looking at the result of a lot of puffs of smoke, trillions of them. But none of this happens without the idea taking form on the other side first, unless it's an accident or, you know, occurred naturally or God's will. So that's what you have. Your thoughts are huge. What are the two biggest things I can think of that we have in our lives? Would be the ability to create life, babies, and to make anything you desire, anything you can think of, with your mind. If you believe in God, then do you think that it was predestined that we would have the iPhone 6S and the 7 coming out in September? I mean, come on. You know, we get to make this stuff. We have this schoolyard. And yes, I think there's some destiny. I think we're predisposed to meet certain people and have tragedies and wonderful things in our lives. And there's a script of some sort. That's my belief. I'm not trying to sell that to anyone, but certainly I think there is a lot of playing field, a lot of open space for us to create whatever it is that we desire. And you touched on the fear, and I couldn't get off this program without giving you the tool for fear. When we are concerned about, I automatically use the word concern, but really what I'm saying is when we are worried sick about something, it's an ailment, it's something that hurts our bodies, it's financial, it's relationship, whatever it is. If we fear something, we are turbocharging, we are accelerating a thought. Again, a thought is a weak force. So if you are worried about finances, worried about health, And you repeat that, then your thoughts will begin to make it. It's just like the gravity. If you hold a rock out and drop it to the ground, gravity doesn't judge if you're going to do good or bad things with that rock. It just does. It just pulls things to the ground. So your thoughts will just make things, and they start doing it immediately. So if you are repetitively thinking about a negative, why does my foot hurt? Oh my God, what's wrong with my foot? Is that cancer? Oh my God, is that cancer? Well, you can create a really bad outcome there if you stay with it. And you're loading it up with fear. So thought will merrily start to, as efficiently as it knows how, well, it doesn't have to know, it just efficiently starts to make a result on your foot. You've loaded it with fear. The foot is a target. It will start to create an outcome. And you specified some possible negative outcomes. You can't afford to do that. So it's very simple what you can do with it. I can't tell you what loads of books attempt to do. Just forget about it. Or let's diminish it and go down the road. Or let's do a ceremony. Let's get some fire and throw some salt on it. You know, and I'm not ridiculing what you did, because that was very powerful intention. You can use it for a so-called good thing, so-called bad thing. That's all it is, just intention. So here's what I got. It came to me in a magical way, and I think it's golden. Let's say it's the foot. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. You're in bed. You're not going to get up and go to the emergency room unless, well, you might. But you're going to sit there and think about it. You've been thinking about it for nights on end. So here's what you can do. Take action on that worry. I call them a concern. I try to downgrade them even verbally. So I'm concerned about that pain in my foot. So I'm going to grab my smartphone in the dark. I'll turn on the light, get a pencil and piece of paper. I'm going to put down at 9 o'clock, make an appointment to see the doctor. I'm going to take action on that. If it's a financial concern, I'm going to have a little list I can do. I'll make a note when I get to work, 9 a.m. I'm going to call the boss and discuss the possibility of my getting a raise. I need to be prepared, what I can offer to the company, that kind of thing. Number two, I'll call a mentor of mine, or three, to see what their advice is. I'll look for other jobs. Number three, see what's out there. Number four, I might look into that little sideline thing that I hadn't put much into. Maybe I'm going to make a little extra money that way. I might look at other places that I could live that might be less money, or refinancing, or get a better apartment with, for the same or less money. You know, I'll be looking at different ways to take action on this lack of financial resources. And it can happen in miraculous ways. Money can fall out of the sky. And there are a couple of friends of mine who started finding money on the street. Now, I'm a penny guy, like everybody. I find pennies. They were finding little piles of change, 74 cents, 35 cents. I've never found a pile of change in my life. And they'd find dimes. And they would call me and say, look at this, look at this. And I said, you need to take this up the ladder, man. And then one guy said, okay, I want to find wads of money. He put it in his future. He's finding wads of money. He put this stuff on Facebook and called me. He found two billfolds and one purse. They had money in them, wads of money. The other guy started finding $20, $5 bills. He was out of the change. He went up the ladder. I said, guys, come on, you know, rephrase this thing. So one guy got a double bonus for Christmas. It was about $700. The other guy got a job better than the one he had, with a retirement and medical, and it, you know, it's into the tens of thousands of dollars. So that's a lot better than finding little gobs of change on the street. But the thoughts were doing the same. They were finding, you know, they were coming into money.
Yeah, I think you've touched upon something really important there. It's really key in all this. When I'm working with my own thinking and putting it in a direction that I, you know, the things that I want, I have this little double-barreled maxim called act and interact. I sort of repeat that to myself when I find myself not doing this. And what I mean by this is that, yes, to use my phrase from earlier, the universe will take care of the hows. The universe is moving in your direction, but you have to move as well. It's so much more powerful when you said it earlier on in the interview, you know, say yes more, you know, agree, mm-hmm. agree to things. So that's my version of it, is act and interact, which means do something. You don't have to know the end result, exactly what that looks like. You certainly don't need to know how, but just put one foot in front of the other and just keep doing that. And you've got the universe behind you, whatever that I actually mean by that. But I'm just trying to sum up this force, this phenomenon that we're grappling with here.
Yes, yes. Well, and to address the universe, I'm going to put some responsibility on all of us, at least from my way of thinking. All right, the universe is code for God, or creator, or the architect, or natural. I don't know. I'm one of those who's about God. So there is a creator, and there are a lot of things that come from that. But going back to something I said about destiny or predestination or, you know, the people we meet, the things that we encounter, and then there's just the randomness of life with 7 billion people on the planet. All that aside, we have a lot of free space, and the gift of creation with our thoughts to make anything we desire or require or its equivalent. So when I think, I don't use the word the universe much, and I understand when people are saying that, but I'll go for my version of specificity on this, and that is that I'm not depending on the universe except when I'm in prayer, or that I'm, my hope is that I'm loved by God and I'll be taken care of like any child of God. But I have a lot of free space. I have a lot of free will. And so it is allowed for me to make things of my own instead of just waiting for something to happen. I can do. I can be in my future in my mind and start to create things. And then once that's done, then I get out into the world and I become a target for the things that I'm making, which is another way of being and doing. And along the way, yes, I'm going to encounter this and that, and I'm going to have these so-called bad things and good things happen. But I'm putting responsibility on us to create whatever it is that we desire and not to be wanting or needy. If you are wanting or needy of something, go to your future, and that has already happened, and it will start to make it. Or its equivalent. You'll recognize it. You'll recognize it. And then you'll owe me a story, hopefully. and send me a story. I'll put in the newsletter and I'll send you a signed book. The number three, by the way, and you don't need number three, is that we're very big. We're very big spiritual beings. And many of us, we've read about this, people have encountered the higher self of someone else or our own higher self. And we're enormously powerful, but in this human form, we are not that, at least physically. But mentally, and we are connected to what you would call the universe or this ability to create anything. We are incredibly powerful, creative beings. We can create life. We can create concepts. We can create things. Look at everything that's ever been invented on the face of the planet. This is some kind of ant bed here. And we made it, unless it grew naturally or was, you know, God's will, we'll say. So, go forth, as they used to say biblically, and multiply and do good things for yourself. And going back to that guilty thing, the selfish thing, my wish for you is that you are healthy and safe and well cared for and loved and appreciated. And if all of that is in place, then you're in a fabulous position to be of more help to the next fellow. And if you're some way undiminished in any of those ways, if you have to work 3 jobs, there's not a lot of extra time to help other people. If you are in very, very poor health, there's not a lot of extra energy for you to take care of other people. And by the way, the inverse of some of those things, it is sometimes we need to be helped by other people. We're the teacher, or we're the receptor, and that's very valuable too. But I want us all to be fulfilled and happy and whole, and then we can do that thing that burns inside so many of us. We can be in service to other people. We can do something beyond ourselves.
Well, it's like they say on the aeroplanes, isn't it? You know, with the oxygen masks, always put on your own before attempting to help anyone else. That puts me in mind of that. To ram home this point again, and I've been repeating it in different forms for a reason. Belief is not required here as such, because truth doesn't care what you believe about any of this. So, but beliefs can be very limiting. And it's like, what's that other, there's that other feel good positive thinking cliche out there, you know, whether you think you can or you can't, you're right. And it's, mm-hmm. it's dreadfully cliche, but it's actually cliches are cliches for a reason. It's true.
It's and true.
I would just say a final word to naysayers here. And this is what I find myself saying to people that I come into contact with who would generally speaking be very dismissive of the ideas we've been talking about. And some of these are, you know, people I know personally quite well. I would say, well, even if you believe, quote unquote, that this is all nonsense, you might as well think positively about your present, your future. You might as well live in some of the ways we're describing, because you'll be happier. So even if you just get to the end of this interview and go, those two guys are crackers, you know, what will you gain by living negatively, thinking in terms of limitation and what's not possible all the time? You don't, you know, some people say, well, if thinking more positively about your life was that simple, everybody would be doing it. But it's just that we've been trained to worry. Our culture is one of worry. You've only got to turn on the television news. There's there's almost nothing good, nothing edifying, you know, just zero. Of course we're going to worry in those circumstances. So that's, again, just final shout out to skeptics is you might as well, you know, have your chin up, chest out, because ultimately you'll be happier. And who knows whether any of this works or not. You know, you don't have to believe anything.
Yeah. Well, it's hard for people to change their attitude. And I like that. Give it a shot. If you have this little negative bent and there's a lot of fear on television, let's call it what it is, fear. It's love or fear. Pick a side. But if you can't change that, I can't change things overnight. You can do this little experiment. Go into your future. You don't have to make a big deal out of this. And pick one thing. And in your future, that thing has already happened and you're very grateful. And let it go. And do that every day. And you go back to your regular life and you can doubt and da-da-da-da-da-da. But make that little thing sacred. When you're in your future, that thing is good and you're so grateful. And then come back to your life, whatever it is. But that thing's going to start to form up. And it's going to do its best to break through. You might be getting in the way. You might be entangling that a little bit. But have that one thing. Just that one thing. And see what happens. Get the book, manifesting123.com. You can get it audiobook. You can get it, it's paperback. It's in all the forms. Or just listen to this program again. You don't have to buy anything. I give this stuff away for free. That's why I'm here. It's a big deal. It's kind of like we spent what? How many billions of dollars chasing down the quark? You know, very high physics, getting it into the very, very small level. This is one of those things. And it's free. You're already doing it. So take advantage. Just put it to work for you.
Well, last word from me on the idea of being selfish and not asking for yourself. We touched upon all the main objections to that, I think, but I would just say that the world needs exceptional people. People who are living what they would have previously maybe considered the life of their dreams, if you see what I mean. The world is not a diminished, impoverished place if more and more people in it are happier and doing better and doing what they want.
Yes, yes. I wish everyone happiness. And please, point yourself to happiness in any way possible. Ask, pray, hope. Vision boards, whatever it takes, but you just got some core information today. You know how thought works. And you don't have to have a lot of tools. You can use your mind and it goes to work on it. But all these other things, remember, they're just layers of intention. So just keep piling it on. But get outside, say yes more, because the things you're trying to make are trying to find you and it can't all come through parcel post. So have a good time with this.
Yeah, energy flows where attention goes. I've always like that saying. So it's just think on, think about what you're thinking. Today, Ken, we've been talking about your book, say Manifesting 123. You've shared the website a couple of times. Just remind people about that in closing. Also, you're an artist. Your artworks are available. Put that stuff out there and anything else you'd care to share.
Oh, all right. Well, if you want to see my other job, it's kenelliott.com. ELLIOTT.com. So I've been fortunate to have had very good teachers in that regard, and I teach art myself. And I have a wonderful career, and in my future, I'm getting better with every painting and more successful. And you know what? I watch that happen. Sometimes I'm working on a painting, and I'm watching myself get better as I paint it, and it is the strangest feeling. I just love watching that happen.
Excellent. Well, Ken, thanks once again so much for joining us today on LegalizeFreedom.com.
Thank you so much. It's a real pleasure.
Well, folks, that's it for another week. As ever, thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, check out the website, which is legalizefreedom.com. That's legalize-freedom.com, where you'll find an archive of programs offering alternative views on a wide range of topics, including politics and economics, energy and environment, culture, spirituality, history, and the nature of reality. You can also browse and buy a range of publications from our guests, and if you're feeling generous, make a donation to help keep the site up and running. Whether you listen, donate, or do both, I greatly appreciate your support. Until next time, I'm Greg Moffat, and you've been listening to LegalizeFreedom.com.